And now, in his 13th year, Todd Lebo.
Right, sure. That's probably about right. My math on that, I don't know.
You're probably 20, probably your 17th, 13th year. I don't know.
I've worked here for 24 years.
Yeah.
So there, whatever that math is on that.
Something like that. I think that makes 25.
Yeah, and some TV before that, some radio interning before that, and some college sports updating in 1990, whatever year that was when I was in college, at KGOU Radio.
Wow. The Wayback Machine.
Friday mornings.
You worked at a station called KGU?
Yeah. OU, Oklahoma.
KGOU. It was that sounds like
NPR station. So, you know, you had to do the sports centers in NPR form.
NPR.
The University of Oklahoma's Sooners at the Lloyd Noble Center tonight will take on the Kansas State University Wildcats.
And later.
Did you do it like the sports update in WKRP where he's like, Chai Chai Rodriguez?
I knew the names.
There's an old clip of BBC radio the day the Kennedy was assassinated, and they start their newscast, go, this is the BBC Home Service. Here is the news, read by Frank Phillips. Read by. So I'm going to do my sports center.
You're a newsreader. You're a presenter, reader over there. Yeah.
Today's sports center, read by.
You're reading this. I'm not a strong reader, so I don't do that. My name is Todd Lebo, by the way.
True.
And I've been doing this for too long. But there's never enough time right before the show starts.
Always.
I mean, we're sitting here all day long doing all this work, and then all of a sudden, like 17 things happen right at the beginning. But we're here. Seren's on vacation. We're going to be here till 6 o'clock. Then we got crunch time tonight at 6. And we got football, real live, honest to goodness.
How
exhibition
that?
Football happening tonight right here on Sports Radio 810, the Hall of Fame game. So that's a fun day, man. Football season is like here. We've already had practices and all those kind of things. The Chiefs have been outside, inside. We've done all that stuff. But there's an actual preseason game happening right here on Sports Radio 810
Real
tonight.
Uniforms.
It's here.
The Hall of Fame game always reminds me of one of the most infuriating things I've ever seen in a game that I had no stake in. Maybe the Titans and the Raiders. I can't even remember who was playing, but it was the
Hall of Fame. That was a big one. I remember that one.
Yeah, it was the Hall of Fame game, and the Titans ran this exquisite fake punt play. Like, it was beautiful. And it was well-designed. It was executed perfectly. And I just, why the hell would you put that on
that
film
there
in the
everyone?
Hall of Fame game?
Hey, there's a meaning for it, man. They got them thinking, and then they probably never ran anything. Every special teams coach for that, when they had to face that team, had to think about it for an hour. There's a lot of that that goes on in the league. I don't get it, but
truth.
It is. But that's what's happening today on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got Stephen St. John back with us at camp today at about 2:20 or so. We're going to hear from Carlos Dunlap. I know Stephen really enjoyed talking to him, so you heard a little bit of that there in the open. We'll have more of that with Stephen coming up. At 3 o'clock, we've got Stump the Chumps. And it's true, Shane Summers is coming in here to do Stump the Chumps. And whatever. I said, get
Shane,
ready for your case stuff.
Shane the Prankster Summers.
Yeah, he's trouble. He's trouble. So we'll do that in the 3 o'clock hour. Blair Kirchhoff will join us at 4 o'clock. We can talk about anything with Blair Kirchhoff. I know he's been up at camp, so we'll talk some football for sure, but the baseball trading deadline has passed. He knows plenty about that. We've got all kinds of college athletics going on as well. It's always fun to talk to Blair Kirchhoff.
He knows stuff.
He does know stuff.
And
the guy who knows about as much about anything in Major League Baseball, Jeff Passan, will join us at 5 o'clock. So that will be a good time as well. It's always fun to talk to Passan when I get to substitute for Seren. So that will be exciting as well. Then, as I said, crunch time at 6. And then football, real live football. Real life fake football at 7 o'clock, which will get a huge number on television and the radio.
Yeah, for about a quarter.
Yeah, but people will watch it. It'll be more than watch like a lot of other sports because it's on.
Oh my God, it's a game.
It's time.
A few sports.
People
have
will
a
be
fan
gambling
base.
On it. Hey, how long till we actually get to gamble here in Kansas? When is it happening?
I don't know.
They say it's going to be ready. Last time I checked my app, let me see.
Check that
Let's
out.
Try to place a bet right now in this opening segment.
I'm okay with that.
I think there'll be something happening at some point where they'll tell you, you get to do this now.
I think if you try to make a bet on the Hall of Fame game, it just immediately sends you to GA.
No. Hey, man, those bets
can't. Off.
No. It's all good. Anyway.
The little paperclip pops up. It looks like you're trying to do something really stupid. Would you like to continue?
There's nothing stupid about betting on the Hall of Fame game.
Okay. Maybe stupid isn't quite foolish.
Hey, man.
Sign.
They all
of,
pay off.
A sign of distress.
Yeah, we'll try. Welcome back, Todd. No,
they don't all pay off.
No. Well, they all pay off one way or the
you
other.
Lose.
Real quick, do you think the Royals are going to win tonight?
What is the number? They have won as a minus 400 and almost won as to the ninth inning tied in a game where they were minus 380. Or the opponent was minus 380.
Let's just try to I'll just try to go put a $1 bet.
The two games
now.
They were supposed to get blown out in.
I'm going to say
cannot place a bet. I just wanted to test it. Cannot place it. Can't bet in Kansas yet. I'm far enough into Kansas where my DraftKings app should work. Can't do it. All right, there you go. There's your PSA announcement. No betting tonight on the Hall of Fame game legally, okay? All right, let's talk a little football. We'll have baseball throughout the day. We said we're going to talk to Jeff Passan. We're also going to hear from Dayton Moore a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a Zoom later this hour where, you know, Eric Hosmer's returning and all that stuff. So we'll have some of that as we go throughout. So we will talk some baseball here. The Royals lost yesterday. They've lost a couple in a row now. They're here. Eric Hosmer was the heart of one of these big trades that didn't happen. And then they said, all right, well, you're still gone. We're going to trade you anyway. And so he is now with Boston. His return to Kansas City has come early. It was supposed to be the first time in 5 years at the end of the month. And now it's the first time in 5 years at the beginning of the month, as he will be here. And that's a surprise that people didn't know was going to happen until 2 days ago. So we'll talk some Royals and things like that as we go along. But the Chiefs are the king. They are off tomorrow. This is the last practice for this regular part of the week here. And we got defense today with Steve Spagnuolo. And
second time Spags has talked. We have yet to hear from Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, he was on the weekend, I guess. Yeah,
since they actually started full.
Right.
But part of that is, I think, new guys.
Yeah.
I mean, the two most obvious ones are defensive players, so you want to hear what Spags says.
There's some sort of rotation out there, I guess, I'm sure. But
right.
We got Spags again today. I always like talking to Spags. It's fun. And today, last time we talked to Spags, he didn't know if he could talk about Carlos Dunlap. But then he did,
yeah.
Sort of, because we kind of talked around it. But we'll hear much more about Dunlap as the show goes on. But I do want to hear, we haven't talked a whole lot about Trent McDuffie, who's the first-round draft pick, because it's just kind of assumed this guy's going to play because he got drafted and he's going to play. And so we got a little update from him, from Steve Spagnuolo, about what he's seen from that first-round draft pick.
Great job. I think he's done an outstanding job. Now, we'll probably move him around a little bit, too. But we need to get him settled in a spot eventually. I think he's competed really well with the bunch of really good veteran wideouts we have. The thing I like about Trent is when it hasn't gone great for him, he's not one of those guys that sticks his head in the sand. He bounces right back up. That's a good quality.
Steve, what do you have to detail about Josh Williams and what stood out to you about him so far?
I like Dave Merritt and I both like the way he presses at the line of scrimmage. He's really bought into the technique we use. Not everybody, it's not comfortable for everybody, but he has bought into it. He's trying to do things exactly the way we ask him. And if he keeps doing that, I think he'll get better and better.
That last part there about Joshua Williams, who is drafted by the Chiefs as well, and he's turned a lot of heads. And we've heard a lot of people talking about Joshua Williams because they weren't expecting him to,
no.
Number one, be out there, because he's out there mostly because of injury, but he's performed very well. I hope we don't hear a lot of talk about Trent McDuffie. I think that would be great, because at this point, if you hear something about him, it's like, oh, this guy got toasted or whatever. He's just going about this very professionally and under. I've been around him a little bit. We were on the Zooms. And we had him. I wasn't up there. He was in the tent one day, but I was up there, you know, at OTAs and rookie minicamp and stuff like that. And he's not a brash, like in your face cornerback type guy. He seems very businesslike and very technical about it, how he goes around and does things. And I think that would be a great sign if he's just a very solid performer and it's not, you know, sink or swim very much with him. That would be great.
Yeah. There are times that a defensive back can be a discussion point in camp because he's, you know, well, look, it's great coverage skills. He's picked off Patrick Mahomes a couple of times, something like that. But for the most part, if you hear a lot about a rookie in camp,
he's usually
on the defensive
beat.
Side is because, oh man, he can't stay with anybody.
Yeah, but he's holding his own and doing a nice job, and I like the way he goes about it. Very professional and businesslike. That's what I've noticed from him from the first time we talked to him on a Zoom on draft night throughout. I don't know where it's all going to go with him, but he seems to have his head on his shoulders.
It's not too big for
and
him.
Be what you want. Yeah, that's good news there that you've heard about Trent McDuffie and also about Joshua Williams, who's going to be a player on this team.
Yep.
I don't think there's any question about that. And whether or not he's going to be a starting cornerback, I don't know, but he's going to be a player on this team, and that's for sure. All right, I don't think we've talked to Spags since we heard from Frank Clark. And, you know, a lot of things we heard from Frank Clark this past weekend and kind of how he's come along. And here's a little update from Steve Spagnuolo about whether or not Frank Clark looks like a different player this time around, because Frank Clark has admitted he wasn't very good last year. He said he was fat. He said he was, you know, not very good. So Spags was asked whether or not he looks like a different player this time around.
He does. He looks lean right now. But listen, Frank, I've always said this about Frank. He's powerful from here down. Way back when I was in Philadelphia, we had a guy by the name of Hugh Douglas. Now, Hugh was thicker than Frank, but I always would watch Hugh, and I just felt like the reason he was such a good player was because of how strong he was from here down, not necessarily what he had up top. And so even though Frank may look a little light, his long arms and his explosiveness from the hips down, I think he still has that.
Yeah, good news still that Frank Clark looks good and is performing well. I think it's important. This could be a really, really nice year for the Chiefs if he bounces back and performs well, because it looked to most people like this was going to be it for Frank Clark. Everyone looked and they circled the calendar and the contract, and they said, the way he's performing, the guy's just toast. And they've seen something enough somewhere in his performance. And he didn't have a lot of leverage on whether or not they're going to renegotiate his contract and all that stuff, because he was going to play himself out of the league with off-the-field issues and not performing on the field. It wasn't going to work for him. And so now this is kind of like a bonus year. You've redoubled your efforts. You've gotten yourself healthy. And if you can perform, as we said, he's not even 30 yet. You can sit there and continue to earn good money doing what he does for a long time in this league.
And it's usually, if you're a pass rusher, you can get to the quarterback by either, you know, great technique, having different moves, or guys who are just power guys, or guys who are speed guys. And obviously some of the greats combine at least two and sometimes all three of those things. But if you're looking at the three singular approaches, that's them. Well, he doesn't have a variety of pass rusher moves, so he's either going to be a power guy or a speed guy. And, well, power with the bigger body hasn't worked the last couple of years. All that's left is for him to be able to use that get-off, as he mentioned the other day, as I think somebody mentioned the other day, that get-off that he has had when he's been in great shape. And maybe if being lighter and feeling better will certainly make him a quicker player off the ball, and will probably also help him when it comes to stamina in the type of, you know, the Tamba Hali type sacks where he just kind of outworks a guy and gets just outlasts a guy who's across from him. So those are the only two options really left for Frank Clark to be a productive pass rusher. I'm sure being lighter and feeling better about himself physically is going to help in both those areas.
Well, they just didn't get it done well enough last year.
Not at all.
And he was on the team.
Yep.
And Chris Jones was on the team. I mean, and they're the big dollar guys on the team. You get paid that money to get guys down on the ground. And, you know, we all kind of thought Chris Jones, you know, he'd a little bit lobbied to play defensive end, and the experiment didn't work well enough, and it's over. Although he had some nice moments. You know, he took over the second half of game one against the Browns and did some things, but he had so many games with a goose egg. His sacks kind of came in bunches, and then it was goose eggs after that. And Frank Clark was just like a couple of accidental sacks last year. It wasn't even like most of the time you'd look up and you say he's not a factor in the game.
He's ran into a guy.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, there's the quarterback.
Or you'd look up and it'd be the third quarter and you get a text from your friend going, is Frank Clark in this game? I'd be at the game and I go, yeah, I see him out there. And you look at the stats, nothing. You know, it was not a good year.
The stat rundown, when that comes in about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, you see that he played in 75% of the snaps. You're like,
and he didn't
really
do anything, yeah.
I don't remember seeing him. 55
no
doing
flashes.
Anything.
No. So that's going to be important if he does. And I think they hope to get a lot of flashes from Carlos Dunlap, who's got some goals in mind about what he needs to do and what he wants to do. And we'll talk about that and how much. We've known this news for over a week now, but now we finally got him on the field and a chance to talk to him, and it'll be our chance to talk to Stephen St. John about Carlos Dunlap next, right here on the program. Welcome back into the program. My name is Todd Lebo. Seren Petro on vacation. He's coming back. He better. It's too much work for me. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. Actually, it is too much work for me. It's very much too much for work for me. It's, you know what's too much work?
Mm.
Stephen St. John carrying this segment. Mm. But he's more than willing to do it, even on his tender back. Yeah. Stephen, how you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm always willing to come on the show and talk Chiefs football with you. How about that?
It's good.
I'm very happy.
Did I hurt your feelings when I sent you that picture of you leaning against the wall with your bad back earlier today?
No, it's just memories. You know, it really hits home with me right now. Although Don Proctor and others did note at practice that I seemed to be a little bit more mobile.
Yeah, good.
I was moving with a fluidity today that I wasn't yesterday.
Progress.
There is progress. Half the night I slept sitting up, surrounded by a fortress of pillows, so that seemed to help.
Stony Creek offered you a wide variety of pillows today. Is that the deal?
I have five pillows surrounding me in my back. So you know what? I'm just bottom line. I'm just getting it done. I'm just getting it done, and that's all there is to it. And today was it a beautiful day at practice today. They were back outside after yesterday being inside. And one note I do want to make about. It's not funny at all. Yesterday, that's closed quarters, man. That's not a lot of room in there. And at one point, Patrick Mahomes fired a football that went into the immediate area off Adam Teicher's leg. And then another point, Vahe Gregorian had to jump out of the way of some players that were coming our way. But at one point, you know, you've been inside the mm-hmm. indoor facility up here at Missouri Western. They have those glass overhead garage doors that could slide up, right? I'm only assuming it's shatterproof glass, but you know, one of the players like went fast right into it, face first in the play.
Oof!
When the momentum carried him out, and everyone just it went dead silent when it had, 'cause he went down, but then he got back up. You know, I'm all right. And Gary Jennings, wide receiver, and then he was out with a concussion today.
Ooh.
And it was loud, and it cracked the glass. And so I didn't really get a chance to mention that too much today on the morning show because, he finished practice, but then he was out
today
with a concussion today.
Yeah.
So
whew, I heard Jesse Newell didn't try to catch that pass. He said he left it to Adam to get hit in the leg.
Right, he did. And then one point, it was a one-hopper, but Matt Derrick showed very soft hands, tremendous reflexes, and snagged the ball out of the air. And so he was almost like an onside kick, and he was ready, and he got it. So he's on our hands team now.
Good.
For Sports Radio 810 WH. It's very good. You have to be paying attention when you're covering practice indoors because things could be flying at you, people and footballs and all kinds of stuff.
Today you were at a safe distance up in the tent. It was better for you.
Yes, we were out today, and one of the headlines today was, of course, the arrival on the field of number 8, Carlos Dunlap. And so, and he had 8.5 sacks last year. So maybe I don't know. Maybe there's a correlation there. But boy, is he a physical specimen! And so, before he had a chance to come in the interview tent and speak with us, I know that you played some Steve Spagnuolo already, but Spags was in there. And he was asked about Carlos Dunlap because last time he was asked about him, that you know it wasn't quite official and he really couldn't say anything. So this time he was able to talk about his new pass rusher, and he was asked about Carlos Dunlap's success at getting at the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's done it for a long time, and the system he was in Cincinnati all those years was kind of conducive to him. Mike Zimmer had him for a long time, and what they were doing, it was a four down. System, call it what you want. I mean, we're multiple now, so we're in a couple of different things. But I think he functions well outside. We talked to him about playing inside. We'll see where that goes. I'm not really sure. I want to get him comfortable at one spot first. But again, I go back to the length, and he knows how to get to the quarterback. I mean, sometimes that's just innate. I always say 70% of pass rushers want to, not necessarily technique.
6'6", 285. This is a big dude who has found a way to actually get there and get quarterbacks to the ground for his entire career. He hasn't been a guy who's a 20-sack guy or anything like that any of these years, but it's very consistent when you look throughout his career.
Yeah, 10 straight years of at least 6 sacks. So consistency is one of his calling cards. And so he's very aware of how many sacks he has. because he told us in the interview tent that he has 96 sacks and he wants to get to 100. And so he was aware of that, and he talked about what his goals are. He was really interesting to talk to. That's going to be fun to interview him throughout the season. But when he first walked into the tent, I asked him why he chose to sign with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Great opportunity with a great organization. What they've done the last few years, playing against them on the other side of the ball, I wanted to add my specialties to it, and we felt like we had mutual interest.
Was it a difficult decision? Did you have several other teams that you had to decide from?
Yes, there were a couple other teams, and then obviously, these last week or so, ever since camp started, things heated up. But I liked what I heard from the Chiefs. That's why I came out here to meet with them in person, to see how I fit, see how they would use me, see how I would contribute, see if it was a fit, and I'm here.
He's here. That's good news, because the Chiefs, they hadn't really addressed the position. That's been one of the factors that wasn't working well for them last year, was getting the quarterback to the ground. And everyone had all these grand ideas about, signing this person or that person, or Melvin Ingram coming back. And then when that didn't happen, that was pretty disappointing for a lot of people. So this looks like a pretty good find. And it's late, but it's not too late, though, right?
That's right. It's never too late, Todd. But it's not too late, because he's here and he's getting acclimated. He didn't do much today. It was a 10-10-10 practice, and he was just kind of out there talking to coaches, talking to players, and they're going to ramp him up the way they did with Orlando Brown Jr. But Carlos Dunlap was asked why the timing, why he signed so late in the offseason.
Patience, This is my 13th year. I've done it 12 different ways. So I wanted to make sure I made an educated decision and went with the team, there was, mutual interest in, my ability to play and how I'll be used and the opportunity to win. Because at this point, I've done a lot of football. One of the things I have not done is, I haven't got over 100 sacks. I haven't won a playoff game, and I haven't clearly won a Super Bowl. So those are things that I would like to do at this point in my career. And I'm in hot pursuit, and I feel like this team gives me a great opportunity, the best opportunity to do it.
I'm in hot pursuit. Was he Buford T. Justice?
Hot pursuit.
He is. Some guys will act like they are unaware of what their career stats are, or if they're approaching any milestone. Not Carlos Dunlap.
No.
He told us how many sacks he had, how many he needed for 100. He mentioned it a few times that it was important for him to get 100. That would, I think he's, I don't know, I think he said that would put me in the top 40, but he was very aware of that. That's important to him. It's also, and why not, in your 13th year, it's important for him to go to a team where he thought he has a chance to just win a playoff game, man. Think about that. This is year 13.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he wants to go to the Super Bowl, but he'd like to win a playoff game, because he is with Cincinnati for a long time.
Right.
And that's got to irritate you, that you spend all that time in Cincinnati, then they go to the Super Bowl, a year and a half after you leave. And at one point, I had asked him about Russell Wilson, because he played the last year and a half with Russell Wilson. I said, excited to go up against Russell Wilson after spending the last couple of years with him, and now you get a crack at him two times with when the Chiefs played the Broncos. And he got a big smile on his face. He goes, yeah, he goes, that's my guy, but no, I'm looking forward to playing him, twice. And that's one of the, that's one of the reasons I signed here. He goes, the schedule, there's a couple other things on the schedule I'm looking forward to. And then just go, look, the Chiefs play at Cincinnati. And so yeah. pretty easy to figure out what other game he was talking about, the team that traded him to Seattle. So I like this. It feels like a little vindictive. He's chasing 100 sacks. He wants a crack at his old team. He wants to win a playoff game. So there's a lot of things motivating Carlos Dunlap, and he wants to show that he's one of the best pass rushers, really, of his era. And so he was asked also what he likes about how he fits in the Chiefs' defense.
The opportunity to play in every down, obviously, will be rolling, because we got a young bull, first-round pick, who has a lot of talent. Sky's the limit for him. So the opportunity to play in every down, at this point in my career, because I've been a closer in so many games and have 96 sacks in my career, they try to correlate, with being older, taking down your snaps, but featuring you in passing situations. But I like to eat and and wherever you put it on the table, you know, I like a what's the word?
First down, just third.
Yeah, I like first. I mean, I could say it just like that. Yeah, first and second downs are just as important to me as third down. Obviously, I've done many things on third down, closed many games on third down, but I feel like if you impact the game early on first and second down, you can put the game away even sooner. And clearly, these guys have lit up the scoreboard many and one time. So, look forward to contributing my strengths to what they already do well here.
Okay, so he referenced that a couple of times. He said that he playing time. He mentioned playing time a couple of times. He said he's you know he's not just in here to be a closer, to be a third down guy. He's gonna it feels like they've clearly told him you're gonna play a lot here.
And I like the way Dunlap said it first. I like to eat wherever it's at.
You if that's right. First down,
he had it right. He should have just stuck with that.
I like to eat wherever. Now another stat I like about this guy is it goes down as passes defensed, right? If you're in the offensive line, it's long arms, tall guy, a lot of batting the ball down at the line of scrimmage, a lot. So that's a factor as well in a pass happy league. He knows how to get to the passing lane. If you don't get to the quarterback, get your hands up. You know, it's as we recall, you know, the stretch run in the Super Bowl, especially, Chiefs were knocking balls down at the line of scrimmage in that fourth quarter of that game against the 49ers where they won
Chris
it.
Chris Jones.
Those are important, man.
It was one of the things that was most often cited in what Chris Jones did in the postseason.
Yeah.
The fact that he batted those two passes down.
What else was going on while Chris Jones was batting down those passes, Todd? Well,
did I make you eat a Twix bar that wasn't yours?
Yes.
That was good. You weren't nervous, though. He wasn't nervous. I'm telling you, he wasn't
people
nervous.
Don't, it was towards the end of the game. And Todd loves the game of scenario and loves to you know, just to drive me crazy, especially when my OCD or my nerves are kicking in. And there was somebody else from the media, and, boy, this is pre-COVID, so, you know, germs be damned. He had said, if the Chiefs win this game, will you eat that partially eaten Twix bar? I said, absolutely. I mean, yes. I mean, at that point, I'm bargaining with the football gods. You could have, you know what? You sold yourself short. You could ask me to do a lot of stuff
right there
at that point. I would have eaten, whatever, a hot dog that was happy, whatever. And what happened after the Chiefs won that game?
You took a good, healthy bite of that Twix bar. It was good.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm so stupid.
You're not stupid. Yeah. You did what it took. You know what you do? You're a gamer. Right. You fight. You do it. You'll eat on whatever down. You don't care.
Right. That's exactly right. I'm like Carlos Dunlap, but half his size. But I will – look, I know
half
Frank
is
Clark.
Tall, maybe.
People,
I don't know about half his size. But.
Ew.
You know, is that necessary?
Ew.
Well, I'm just doing I'm doing ratios in my head. I don't know.
People know that I'm thick, T-H-I-C-C, thick.
Yeah.
Lean.
I'm not a B-O-Y, I'm a B-O-I boy. So listen, what's wrong with me?
You're slap happy, you're in Stony
right,
Creek.
I am, no I really am. So there was a point after practice where, you know, Frank Clark has been taking George Karloftis off to the side, working with him, working on hand placement, just working on some moves. And so then Carlos Dunlap got in on the action, and he was standing there for a long time talking with George Karloftis and going through some different drills. I like that. And that it's first day on the field with these guys, and then you see Frank Clark, George Karloftis, and Carlos Dunlap, and I'm thinking, okay. Now, before the draft, we're wondering, what's this rotation going to be at edge rusher? What do the Chiefs have? And it was Frank Clark and Mike Dana. Nothing against him, but now George Karloftis, Carlos Dunlap, with a rejuvenated Frank Clark, that looked like something to me. And it was, as I thought, significant that they're working together, and that got me a little excited about the possibilities of the Chiefs being improved at getting to the quarterback.
Steven, we haven't talked a lot or I haven't heard much, but the flyer last year in the draft was Josh Kando. Has he done anything for you up there? Is he someone who can contribute this year?
Very, very, very hush hush on Josh Kando.
Nothing yet, then.
I haven't. There's been no moments where I've said, "Man, how about that Kando?" He looks very physical, looks the part. But maybe that's okay. Maybe that's got to be a guy that still you consider a developmental prospect, and you don't want to have to depend on him, you know, and is one of the three or top three or four. But I mean, he's clearly behind those four. You know, between the three I mentioned and then Mike Dana And so, I mean, Malik Herring, you hear a lot about him. But to be honest, no. There's not a lot has been said about Josh Kando. But again, that's what he came in with, the reputation as a, you know, when he was a fourth round pick, as a guy that had all the physical gifts, the physical tools, but it did not equal into production, right? And so we're still waiting. And maybe if you're hoping, you know, for the best case scenario there, you know, Tano Passanio, he could turn into a guy like that. And you know what, guys that have length like that, Spagnuolo did mention, he called him TK. He mentioned Passanio. He likes to have guys like that who can bat down the ball and be a little versatile on the defensive line. So maybe there's still a role for him. But no, there's been nothing that suggests, like, hey, he's a breakout player in this camp.
I know we're going to hear later during the show from Sky Moore, the rookie. And last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever I was up there the first time, I heard somebody who was a player say he looks like a running back, right? And we've heard a couple things like that. And today I see a clip. He's in the backfield, okay? He's not going to play running back. But then all the people start whispering, oh, is this like a, you know, a couple of Deebo Samuel packages or whatever? What do you think so far of Sky Moore? And did you see him pop up there a couple times?
Look, man, I said this when I first saw him. If I, you know, if there were no numbers on the guys, I didn't know who was who, and you told me, hey, that's the Chiefs' new running back. I said, okay, mm-hmm. All right. Because, I mean, that, and again, I'm not trying to be funny. His legs are like tree trunks. His legs, that's what stands out about him. And so he looks like a guy, and he talked about it today. He likes being utilized that way. And he can be physical. So it is really, that's one of the things that I can't wait to watch. And I don't know that they're going to unveil a lot of this stuff in the preseason, but I think they are going to use him in, like, jet sweeps. And you're going to see him maybe line up in the backfield. You're going to see him utilized in the screen game, because he is a powerfully built receiver when you look at his legs, and a guy that could, and not, they're not going to use him to the extent like the 49ers use Deebo Samuel, but he's certainly a guy that they're going to utilize, like I said, with those jet sweeps and lining up in the backfield and finding creative ways to get him the football. Absolutely. He's one of those guys where you watch a whole practice, you have to come away impressed with him. Right. And that's why it was scary when he left practice the other day, you know, two practices ago, and they said, oh, he hurt his hip. Like,
yeah.
Oh, boy.
And he had the hamstring in the OTAs. Yeah, I'm a little bit worried that he's been that guy so far, but he's willing to work through it. And I know he wanted to do a lot more during OTAs, but they were intentionally saying, settle down. We don't need to worry about it. But he bounced right back from his hip thing. He's thumbs up on Instagram. He's out there on the field. That's important.
Dude, I try not to overhype players, but man, and I was talking about this on the show this morning with Jesse Newell. This rookie class looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. There's a lot of them, and that you know, that probably helps the cause.
Numbers help, yeah.
But man, like, Sky Moore looks really, really good. McDuffie and Josh Williams and Carl Loftus and Leo Chenal. It's easy to get excited and get fired up when you see these rookies and how promising they look so far in training camp.
Yeah, that's perfect. It's good to see things are going well. I like that. What have you got on tap for the rest of the night here? I know your back's hurt. Did you get your steak at the Frederick Inn? Because we didn't get to talk to you yesterday.
I did. They have their version of the surf and turf where you can pick your steak selection and a seafood. And so I got the sirloin and the tilapia blackened. Mm. Oh, just delicious, you know, and they had the soup and the salad. So, yes, we had a very, very nice dinner. Then I had Phil and Susan's help getting out of the chair because I sat too long and kind of getting, you know, the paint dried.
Heal you
it's
up.
It's been an embarrassment. Also, right when we pull up to the Frederick Inn, there's a big cement truck and almost hit a guy on a moped.
Oh,
and he, in an effort to not get hit by the cement truck, he went sprawling. You know, and his he went one way, the moped went the other.
Ooh.
And his shoe went like 100 feet.
But he didn't get hit.
And then the cement truck just stopped for a minute, drove off, and then Susan jumps out. Are you okay? And he just gets up, dusts himself off. Yep, I'm all right. And he ran, got his shoe.
She's one to help, see? If
yeah,
that,
she's,
was, a,
she's
if that
it
was a small baby bird that was hurt, she would help the bird. I'm like, if it's an adult man, she'll help the man.
I'm like, leave him alone. We go inside.
She
but
wants
he was
to
fine.
Help. She wants
but
to
it was,
help.
But there was excitement right before our dinner,
now, here's
like
the
dinner
big,
theater.
Here's the biggest question.
What?
We are 1 week away from the 100-year celebration. Mm. You got to be up on that stage all night long.
I know.
Are you
going to
be
that's
okay?
Why I'm taking this that's why I'm taking this treatment so serious.
You're going
to
be ready
to go.
I'm
not just the MC. I'm performing.
Yes.
There's a lot being asked of me, and I'm trying to live up to it. And so that's why I'm going for treatment again tomorrow after the show. There's no practice.
Mm-hmm.
And some ECM treatment. I'm doing everything I can to get myself right.
You got to be ready.
So, yes.
Because we're not moving the date on this thing.
No.
It's,
no.
It's Thursday, and you're ready.
No. I'll be ready. I have to be ready. I have no choice. I have to be ready.
Now, you're not going to try
to
pick up any backpack or anything and hurt yourself again, right? You have
no.
People carrying things for you?
No, I've stopped taking my – I realized a couple of practices ago that I it's not necessary for me to take my backpack to practice.
You take your phone.
Yeah.
And your glasses.
And my
your
purse.
Hat. That's
my,
it. Well, you got your purse. Yeah. Your Danny.
Yeah,
your Danny
you know,
bag.
Right. I got my purse.
Yeah.
Sling bag, whatever you want to call it.
Sling bag.
I don't mind calling it a purse. It's fine. I keep all my essentials in there. It keeps me organized.
Yeah.
I'm proud of it.
Very proud of it. You know. Got a Twix bar in there.
No, eat. I don't. I wish I did.
What's for dinner tonight?
That I don't know.
Oh.
And so, yeah, because we are undecided, but my goal is not to leave this hotel room.
That's good.
You know, and so maybe some takeout. I would not like to leave, and I would just like to stay here and try to not
make
further
your,
injure myself.
Make your pillow fort and be ready to go.
Yeah,
yeah
that's
perfect.
Right.
All right, Stephen, thank you so much for your time. I want you to get some rest. Be ready to rock and roll at 6 bells tomorrow morning.
You know that.
Okay? You be ready to get it done, and I want you to travel safely back here because we need you on that stage at the Midland next Thursday.
I'm doing everything I can to be ready for the big night. Okay?
People don't know what it takes to get ready. We're talking cryo tubs, E-stim treatments.
I'll do
PT.
It all.
PT. We need to get you in one of those big motion things, move your body around so you don't get stuck down there like that, the paint dry on you.
I stayed like 45 minutes in the hot tub the other night here and realized that's too long because then I felt like I was going to pass out.
You got to hydrate.
And so then the next day I go down there and it was they had like the orange cones around and no one could go in it. So I'm afraid that I may have contaminated the hot tub.
It's okay. It ought to be clean tonight. If you leave the room, just get a soak. Get yourself a good soak tonight, buddy. Take care. Thanks for the report, okay?
Oh, thank you.
All right, that's Stephen St. John up at the Stony Creek Inn in St. Joseph bringing it to us there. He's excited about Carlos Dunlap. We all are. And we're a week away from the 100-year celebration. We're just a week and a couple of days away from a football game. We're going to watch the Chiefs play. That'll be exciting. I'm actually excited for preseason football. I normally don't get excited, but I want to watch these rookies play just like everyone else does. That's Stephen St. John right here on the program. Bum, 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 bum. Welcome back to the program. I'm Todd Lebo. Thanks very much to Stephen St. John with us there. He's in a cocoon of pillows right now at the Stony Creek Inn. We got to keep him upright before this 100-year celebration. A little programming note, tomorrow morning, during the Border Patrol, I am going to be out and about with a ticket drop in Lee's Summit, in my town, at the Kansas City Cards and Collectibles. It is behind Johnny Ray's. If you know where 50 Highway is and you drive down 50 Highway, you know where Johnny Ray's and the Jumpin' Catfish are. It's a strip mall thing right back behind there. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm going to be from 8 to 10. We're going to be registering people for tickets, but I'm going to have some tickets that I just get to give away right at 8 o'clock. So get there early. We'll make sure we take care. I don't know how many people are going to show up, but I think they're giving me like more tickets than Briscoe got the other day.
Do you think we can reserve a pair of tickets for the first person who can get to the bottom of what Stephen St. John must have done to that hot tub?
If they have a good answer, I don't know. We'll put him on Stephen's list. He can get him in there. But tomorrow morning, 8 to 10, KC Cards and Collectibles. Lee's Summit, north side of 50 Highway.
It's 50, not 350.
Not 350.
At that point, it's 50.
It's 50 Highway, near 3rd Street. Like, it's just a little bit east of 3rd Street, north side of 50. The Jumpin' Catfish is there. Y'all know where the Jumpin' Catfish
knows.
Is. And Johnny Ray's, tasty little burgers and tater tots there. And they have, what do they call it when the car is? A little car show that they drive in and, you know, Car Night, whatever, yeah, Classic Car Night. Yeah, they do that at Johnny Ray's. So right there. Really close to the one-hour heating and cooling, too, which they're very nice people who've been to my house. Yeah, it's right there. It's my town. It's where it all is. So come on by there tomorrow morning from 8 to 10, and I'm going to make sure as many people as we can help with the tickets get the tickets. It's going to be a lot of fun because this party's coming together. It's going to be an affair to remember
Going over the rundown.
Yeah.
I'm going to be part of that. And it's like, oh, about to have this,
So you're going to see more because they've told us, they wouldn't even tell us some things in the meeting of the day. Well, I'm not going to tell you what this is going to be. I'm like, I don't like secrets, but
I don't think I've heard anything you didn't hear, but just like, oh, wow, oh, that's cool.
It's going to be cool. It's going to be cool. It's a 100-year celebration, and we'll be giving tickets away throughout until we get up there. We've already given away a lot of tickets, and people are excited about it. But tomorrow morning from 8 to 10, Kansas City Cards and Collectibles, in Lee Summit, come by and check us out. We will be there with tickets in hand, ready to give them away and have a good time. It will be a lot of fun. As we move along here, we got Stump the Chumps. I just saw Pete walk by. We're good. I need to write another question. I have one question written, but I got busy today. So I could have one good question, one horrible question. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. And then we have Blair Kirkhoff coming our way at 4 o'clock. Talk about lots of different things there with Blair Kirkhoff and Jeff Pass, and we'll bring it home. After the trade deadline came and went, and a lot of action in Major League Baseball, and it's always good to catch up with Passan on that front.
You know, Pete always says, you know, he's done feeding us. I'm going to feed some guys.
You got some big numbers today?
I've got 2 8 answer questions.
Pete's been like 3 weeks with one answer.
It's worked out well for me. He was in the almost won 2 weeks there last week.
I know, but I haven't gotten any of his answers right. That's it hasn't happened for me yet. I'll get one of them eventually. That's coming up next, and we will have fun as we go. We're going to hear from Dayton Moore. He's speaking with the media right now via Zoom. Mm-hmm. Eric Hosmer is back in Kansas City playing for the Boston Red Sox tonight. So we'll have plenty of that kind of talk going as well, and much more on the Chiefs and everything else that's happened in the world. It's been some pretty crazy stuff going on. Lots of big topics happening in sports. We'll cover it all here as we move along on this Thursday. It's a Thursday edition of the program, right? I've done a good job. I've said the program every time. I say the wrong. I just jinxed myself. I'm 1,000% going to call this the zone or something soon enough.
I gave myself credit for running Feud perfectly yesterday. And the next immediately segment, screwed up bang, a commercial break.
At least you're playing Jungle Law during that. See, it's a sponsor. It's not some old clip we're not supposed to play. That was good. We'll take that every time. Stump the Chumps is coming up next. Shane's coming in here with K-State questions, I'm sure.
All right, how many pitchers since 1900 have given up at least 3 home runs in the first inning twice in the same season? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.